Today's reading is from Genesis, the first chapter. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And so it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you plant-yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth and every bird of the air and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord.
One version of this origin story reads, "When God began to create heaven and earth, and the earth was welter and waste, and darkness lived over the deep, and God's breath was hovering over the waters, that's when God spoke." It's good to remember that God was just beginning to create, that God is still and always creating. The making is never finished. That sounds like good news, especially when I feel like welter and waste, when the headlines sound like deep darkness, when I'm floating and flailing and wishing for a tether, not chains, but something to hold on to in the midst of so much I cannot wrap my mind and my hands around. These are the kinds of places where God's breath likes to hover, where God dares to speak a word that is order, goodness, and life, things that could not be manifest all by themselves. Like so many origin stories and myths, I can imagine how this one came to be. I can see children gathered at the feet of an elder, a storyteller, a keeper of the collective wisdom. I can hear them craving a tale about how everything first started. Where did we come from? Was it on purpose? Did it happen with love? I can feel the rhythm of the poetry, the stanzas marked by days and words and goodness, with divisions, but the kind of divisions that make more beauty and keep time, rather than carving out war and enemies. We all want to hear that story, no matter how old we are, and we want to be implicated in the telling of it, to be tangled up with the truth about how small we are and also how much we matter in the order of things, to be named in the wanting, in the declaration of more than enough. On the heels of the 20th anniversary of 9/11 and threats made against local synagogues during their high holidays this week, in the midst of compounding grief and the toll of our communal and personal weariness at this stage of a global pandemic, I wonder if our welter and waste and deep darkness will have the final word. I have days when I wonder if this is how it all ends. Maybe you too have been consumed by more thoughts of endings than beginnings lately. Too tired or jaded to scramble for the scraps of hope collecting dust in the corners of your day. If that's how you feel, it's okay. You're not alone. I too am hungry for a story about our nothing becoming God's something. And I too have been quick to forget God's habit of creating in every generation, making and making and making because it's not over yet. We call today Rally Sunday or Kickoff Sunday or Celebration Sunday or Please Come Back to Church Sunday. Anything to remind folks that summer is over and program ministry is back on the calendar. And while it's not a high holiday in the church year, there is some unconscious back-to-school energy that makes us really restless to see pews filled and the faces of our old friends and kids making noise during worship. And this year that looks different because the world is different and the church is not immune from the difference. I wish we weren't, but we are still unraveling, still dying in this long season of unbecoming, of chaos and void, of shedding the skin of old systems and finding a new voice for what's next. It's different and divisive and disappointing, and if I knew a shortcut around all this grief and pain, I would be leading the crowd with a clipboard and a giant sunflower like a travel tour guide. This way, folks. Follow me. I'd be jogging around all of the nonsense that feels hard and scary and vulnerable these days. There isn't one. There isn't a way around it. There isn't a detour because life and church and faith are built for the actual journey. The whole brutal and beautiful voyage through what is real. Folks, we have language and stories and myths and breaths and words for what is happening. We call ourselves disciples of Jesus, people who embody the death and resurrection of one who came to save the whole world. Baptism did not promise us a backup plan or morality bonus points or heaven extra credit. Rather, it empowered us with a story and a community to weather the formless and the void, the welter and the waste, the darkness of seasons just like this one. I know that today is supposed to be a celebration of coming back and familiar routines, but if it doesn't shake out that way, take heart. We are so much more than what we used to do and know. We are the church. We are a living and breathing and changing embodiment of Jesus that does not need saving. If we would only trust that we have already been saved, and now the call is simply to live. What would happen if the church embraced the formlessness and void of this day, the uncertainty and chaos, the weary waste that we're feeling, the fear we face while we're grasping for good order, not being able to find it on our own? What would happen if the church put its trust in a God who has been known to create and keep creating, who has a habit of hovering over mayhem and mystery with a breath and a word that spark new life and abundance, that cause God's own self such awe because it's all good? Friends, I fear that the church has forgotten that the call is not to save itself. The call is to live. The call is to let go and be free. The call is discovering as we go along. The call is to believe that God's goodness and mercy are still showing up for our sake. The one to whom we sing and pray today is not tracking metrics we use to justify ourselves so we can go back in time. Rather, God is here to take what is messy and adore it, what is broken and mend it, what is afraid and love it, what is grieving and comfort it, what is formless and shape something brand new where there was nothing. Your messy and broken and fearful and grieving and formless faith are so very welcome here. In fact, God is going to need it in order to begin again, so that creation continues and we are caught up in what is being made new. So do not hide what hurts, what is hard, what is true without language to explain it quite yet. All of it matters. These are the sacred ingredients for what is good and on the way. May you be gentle with yourselves and with one another, remembering that these things are all tools for creation. And may you be brave to believe in the God who can take what we've got and make something so good that every generation lives on to tell its story. Alleluia, alleluia. Amen.